Goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Het is altijd muziek in de Christelijke Cathedral, maar dit keer wel heel bijzonder, want uit Nederland werd afgevaardigd naar de Christelijke Cathedral de panfluit-virtuose Noortje van Middelkoop. Heel veel kijkers kennen haar en ze kan fantastisch spelen. Ze hebben best een beetje trots op, je gaat haar zo meteen zien. Ze speelt onder andere een stuk uit Handel's Fireworks, het à la hornpipe. Maar heel bijzonder, samen met het koor, zingt het koor en zij speelt His Eye is on the Sparrow. Zijn oog is gericht op dat kleine musje. En daarover gaat het ook met mijn gasten vanmorgen. Een vriendschap tussen een crimineel en een dominee die leidt tot de weg van de meeste weerstand. Opmerkelijk verhaal. Kortom, dit is Hour of Power op de vroege zondagmorgen. En iedereen die kijkt, van harte welkom.
Discover America's Television Church as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
We have an amazing service planned this morning. We're so happy because we have Les Brown coming to give us our message this morning. And also, we have an interview with the motivational teacher and speaker, Janet Schweitzer. Now turn around to those who are standing next to you, shake some hands and say, God loves you, and so do I. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for a good day. Thank you for a beautiful day where you've called your people together to worship you with happiness and joy. Lord, we invite you to come here to encourage us, to bless us, to heal us, and to make us whole. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalms, and let me read that for you. Hear these words by the psalmist David as he encourages his people to lift their voices to praise our God. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. And this is the word of the Lord. Well, now we have a young lady playing the pan flute. Norte, we thank you so much coming from afar. We're going to talk to you in just a few minutes and learn a little bit more about you, but thank you for coming and playing for us. God bless you.
This morning, it is my pleasure to welcome our interview guest, Janet Schweitzer. Janet is a number one New York Times best-selling author of Instant Income and Success Principles. Would you welcome to the Hour of Power, Janet Schweitzer? Thank you so much for coming this morning. Now, you've published a book in 26 different languages. You have counseled business people like the guy who started Chicken Soup for the Soul. And you've come here today, and I'm wondering, what is it, as we begin, that you would say to these people about business?
Well, I think during my career, I've really discovered two things to know about being successful in life and in business. And the first thing I would say is that, first of all, successful people have really gone through the process of deciding what they want in life, what they want from their finances, what they want from their career, their relationships, their spiritual walk, their free time, even their community involvement. Mm-hmm. So they've gone through the process of deciding what they want. They've also done the research on how to get what they want, and they're taking action steps to make those things happen. Secondly, the other thing that I've learned actually came up during the time that Jack Canfield and I were writing The Success Principles. And it was some research that we uncovered that told us that successful people, most successful people, particularly those who've achieved tremendous financial success in life, usually started a business early in life, which is why I'm so excited to be working with business owners all over the world to grow those businesses and also achieve a level of success for their owners. Interestingly, there's cultures around the world are really just starting to discover and acknowledge what we've known in America all along, that this entrepreneurial fervor, the freedom, the sense of self-worth that comes from running a successful business, that brings so much satisfaction to life. And because I teach all over the world, I get to see that acknowledgement and appreciation unfolding.
So all sorts of people are starting businesses. Now, we're in a church, too, and there's a lot of Christians here, you know, who are wondering about the ethics, the morals. What do you say to people of faith who want to start a business?
Well, people of faith, I think, make the best business owners. I think they have the ability to bring that solid, strong Christian business ethic to societies all over the world. The nice thing about maintaining your ethics as you're going through business is it really does put your focus on others first before yourself.
Sure.
Focus on your customers, focus on your employees, your joint venture partners, business partners, and whatnot. And luckily, the strategies that we're going to be teaching, the strategies that we espouse, not only bring in the cash, but they do put the focus on customers and others. And there are things, very easy strategies, things like going to another business owner whose customers would be perfect prospects to buy your product or service, and just doing a referral deal with them to send business your way. That can happen literally within days.
Yeah, great. A last word, what would you say to these people? What do you think is the one thing that you would give them, you as a successful businesswoman, what would you say you need to succeed in life and in business?
I think it's enthusiasm, passion for what you're doing. You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson, who's the great American essayist and poet, once said that enthusiasm is one of the greatest drivers of success. And of course, we know the word enthusiasm comes from the Greek word, which means to be filled with God. So one thing that anybody can do to develop more passion for what they're doing is to thoughtfully and prayerfully ask themselves, am I doing what I really love to do? Am I doing what I'm meant to do? As I go through my day, whatever activities I participate in, are those serving the best and highest purpose that I am here on this planet to do? That's really being in your right livelihood. And I think that people who are considering going into small business, the one question I ask them is there one thing that's so much fun for you that you're so good at, it doesn't even feel like you're working? The day just flies by. In fact, it's so much fun, you kind of... think, why is somebody paying me to do this? It's so much fun. Again, that's being in your right livelihood. So I think enthusiasm, passion for what you're doing is the most important thing.
Well, you filled us with enthusiasm. Thank you, Janet. It's such a pleasure. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And encouraging us and giving us your wisdom. We'll
Thank
take
you.
It with us. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Hi, Nortje.
Hello.
Welcome to the Hour of Power, and we're so happy to hear you. Now, where are you coming from? I already know, but I feel like I should ask you for everybody else.
Yeah, I come from the Netherlands, and it was a long flight, 11 hours yesterday. Well, I'm happy to be here again. Very nice.
Oh, thank you. We're so glad to have you.
Thank you.
Now, do you remember the last time you were here to play for us?
Yes, it was 3 years ago. And before, also another two times. Yeah, it's wonderful to play here, to play with the orchestra, with the choir, and the organ, piano, all together, and making music for the honor of God. It's very nice to do it together.
Well, you've already been blessing us so much with your pan flute. Where did you pick up the pan flute of all instruments?
Yes, when I was a little girl, I just chose another instrument, but there was no place for it to learn it. So they said, well, okay, for 1 year you can do another instrument, do the pan flute. I just, okay, I will do it. And then I fell in love with it because there's a softly sounding like a flute in it, and also in the lower pipes, and also the very loud sound like the trumpet. And I like both. I like to be very energetic in the flute, in the playing, and I liked it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Do you ever feel, sometimes as a musician, I feel like my music can almost be like a prayer to God. There's something so spiritual about music. Do you feel that way?
Absolutely. I feel God gave me the gift of music, wonderful gift of music, and also the skills to play this instrument, and I want to honor Him, and I feel that I'm carried by Him by doing this also. With nerves and so on, but He carries me, and I feel that. And I hope I can let you see something of God and something of His grace and of the love of Jesus Christ.
That's great. Now, Nortje, the song you're about to play for us was on the movie The Sin Eater.
Yes.
And Mark McKinsey wrote the piece that you're about to play. He saw you on The Hour of Power when he was writing the score for Sin Eater, and he said, I have to have her, right?
Yes, that's true. Yeah, it was very wonderful time. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Nortje, we can't wait to hear you. Thank you for coming to the Hour of Power, and we're looking forward to hearing your music and blessing us.
Thank you.
Yes, God bless you. Thank you.
We love Nortje. Dat zeiden ze van de Crystal Cathedral een paar maanden geleden. Kan Nortje nog eens terugkomen naar de Crystal Cathedral? En vandaag speelt ze dus in de Crystal Cathedral. En wat was het een fantastisch stuk van Georg Friedrich Händel uit de Water Music, het deel Hornpipe. Fantastisch. En ik heb ook een hele mooie gast vanmorgen. Die is in Nederland gebleven, maar misschien ga je ooit nog eens naar de Crystal Cathedral. Stanley, goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen, Jan.
Hoe is het?
Ja, prima. Ik vind het ook heel bijzonder dat ik nou hier ben. Omdat, dat spreek ik over een jaar of 10 geleden. Toen overleed mijn vader, dus in 99. En toen ging mijn ex-vriendin weg en toen zat ik echt van verdriet. Op een gegeven moment zat ik in een depressie, zeg maar. En toen keek ik toch regelmatig 's morgens naar Hour of Power. En wat ik bijzonder vind is de mensen die hun ervaringen in de positieve tijd omzetten. Die Henry Nouwe ook, die gaf die lezingen en echt die positieve kracht.
Laten we even naar het begin gaan. Jouw ouders komen uit Nederlands-Indië, nu Indonesië. En je vader was knilofficier en je kreeg een strenge opvoeding. Ja. Op je 16e ging het een beetje verkeerd. Of niet een beetje, ging het behoorlijk verkeerd.
Ja, ik denk zoals vele jongens. Dat is heel herkenbaar. Je begint met kleine diefstallen en wat een gezellige buurt. Ja, en bij mij is het op een gegeven moment als een spiraal van kwaad tot erger gegaan. Ja. En ik had al heel jong in mijn hoofd dat ik wilde iets bereiken. Maar dat was ook van ons thuis uit. Maar ook vanuit de oorlog, we moesten iets bereiken. Dus dat echt in mijn hoofd geprent. En bij mij was het zo, ja, of de negatieve kant, heel extreem, of positief.
En je koos voor negatief.
Ja, dat is bij mij heel hard gegaan. En op een gegeven moment ben ik... eerst begin je dan de hele dag te blowen. En ging ik met oudere jongens weg. Toen kwam ik al met heroïne in aanraking. Ja, en daar raakte ik helemaal van slag. Dus ik denk, nou, dat blowen is niks. Ja, en zo is het gepaard met criminaliteit. Want al jong deed ik al dingen die heel extreem waren. Ik vervalste al verzekeringsbewijsjes en dat deed ik heel precies. Heel gedetailleerd. Ook op mijn jonge leeftijd, op mijn 17e, als ik er nou terug denk ik, ben ik daar wel geweest, had ik al een overval gedaan toen ik nog op school zat. Dus ik wist van mijzelf al die kwaliteit dat ik die in me heb. Dat ik deins nergens voor terug. En ik kon mijn mond goed dicht houden op het politiebureau.
En dat is de kern voor een crimineel, hè?
Dat is de kern voor een crimineel. Dat is absoluut de basis. Nou, en dat wist ik. Dus, dan kun je twee dingen doen. Wat de meesten doen is, of je gaat je daarin verder ontwikkelen. Dus dan word je alleen maar nog harder. Of je gaat de andere kant. En dat is echt maar die zachtheid. De kleine Stanley, dat. Want ik ben in principe heel gevoelig, dat weet ik.
Eén man die niet meer leeft, overigens, heeft een enorme impact in je leven gemaakt. Dat was in de gevangenis, dominee Martin Luther King. De voorvechter voor burgervrijheden in Amerika. Waarom?
Ik zat in het huis van bewaring in de Mos. En nou, je kreeg daar heel weinig gespreksgroepen. Ik ben eigenlijk katholiek. En daar was geloof ik geen gespreksgroep. En bij een dominee, op een gegeven moment weet je dat, er was iedere vrijdag een gespreksgroep. Kijk, mij maakt het niet uit hoe of wat, dus ik was de cel uit. Nou, toen kwam ik Jan Eerbeek tegen, de dominee, waarin ik nog steeds contact heb, nu inmiddels 35 jaar.
Die zit hier ook. Jan is hoofdpredikant bij het ministerie van Veiligheid en Justitie. En Jan, jij hebt niets anders tot de dag van vandaag te maken met mensen die door een criminele daad in de gevangenis komen. Wat gebeurde er met Stanley?
Ja, ik ontmoette Stanley in het huis van bewaring. Een hele gewone jongen, vrolijk. Hij riep me vaak in zijn cel. En dan zat hij daar met een veel te grote overall. En dan spraken we met elkaar over de gewone dingen van het leven, wat hij meemaakte. En hij kwam ook in mijn gespreksgroep en in de kerkdiensten. Het was altijd een heel leuk en boeiend
contact. En zijn die begon de dominee gelijk met de Bijbel over je hoofd te slaan?
Nee, integendeel. Nee, helemaal niet. Juist eigenlijk gewoon als mens. Gewoon eigenlijk, kijk, in de gevangenis vaak, dan heb je vaak die jongens, dan moet je toch een image hè, doen. Maar bij Jan was het zo, dan kon je gewoon toch jezelf zijn. En daar gaat het om. Je moet het klik en de vertrouwen hebben. Dat is heel belangrijk. Gewoon als mens, niet gelijk met de Bijbel omhoog, maar gewoon als mens. Je praat over alledaagse dingetjes, zeg maar, waar je eigenlijk diep mee zit. Ja. Zo.
Nou heeft Stanley zich ontworsteld aan zijn criminele verleden, het criminele milieu. Jij bent predikant en tot vandaag de dag ben je nog altijd bezig met jongeren, oudere criminelen, draaideurcriminelen. Gevangenissen zitten overvol. Wat is dat nou toch?
Ja, kijk, veel mensen zitten niet alleen vast in de gevangenis, maar ze zitten ook vast in hun eigen levensverhaal. Dat bleek ook bij Stanley. Het was niet zomaar gekomen dat hij ging stelen en inbreken. Het was eigenlijk een hele kluwe van gebeurtenissen. Het was ook een soort geestelijke verslaving waar hij in zat. En als je het niet tegelijkertijd inzet om die oorzaken van die criminaliteit weg te nemen, ja, dan blijft het maar doorgaan.
En wat doe jij dan? Wat is jouw geheim?
Nou, wat mijn punt is dat ik mensen altijd allereerst probeer te ontmoeten zoals ze zijn. En altijd in de mensen meer dan een misdadiger te zien. En met ze samen te zoeken naar wat zijn jouw mogelijkheden, wat zijn jouw kansen, wat zijn jouw wensen. En daar speelt eigenlijk ook altijd wel een verdieping van het leven een rol in. Een geloofsovertuiging, dat je weer weet en ziet waar je voor leeft.
Ja, want waar leef je voor?
Nou, ik denk dat je als mens allemaal een bestemming hebt in het leven. Dat je ervoor bedoeld bent om met de anderen samen mee te doen, om het leven leefbaar te maken en ook je eigen leven.
Zeg je mooi, Jan. Mensen, jongeren zoeken een houvast. Dominee Jan liet jou de documentaire zien over het leven van Martin Luther King. En dat heeft diep ingegrepen bij je.
Heel erg. Ja, dat heeft tot op de dag vandaag diepe indruk bij mij gemaakt. Dat is ook de titel van mijn boek. Dat is El Capone. Dus Capone en King. En Martin Luther King. Hij is één van mijn grote inspiratiebronnen. En het heeft eigenlijk te maken met het bijna onmogelijke wat hij deed, dat waarmaakt. En de combinatie met zijn vastberadenheid erin. En zo sta ik er zelf nou ook in met mijn, dat staat er ook in de titel, van delinquent tot idealist. En ja, bij mij is het toch naar die pad gegaan.
Heel simpel, door die documentaire van dominee Martin Luther King ging je leven op zijn kop staan. De hulp van dominee Jan en hulp van boven ben je een programma gaan ontwikkelen. En ik vind het leuk, daar haal je zelfs het NRC Handelsblad mee. Nou, daar kom je niet zo heel gauw in. En er staat de weg van de meeste weerstand, het idealisme van Stanley Groeneveld. Wat is jouw idealisme?
Nou, mijn grootste ideaal is Project 13. Project 13, het is niet 12 in een dozijn, dat onderscheidt zich. Dat staat daar ook in de krant, de weg van de meeste weerstand. Dat heeft met mij betrekking te maken. Dat is een proces van mij nu al 35 jaar die ik doorsta. Dus aan de ene kant de ijzeren discipline door middel van duursport. Ik doe al 23 jaar de triathlon, dus hardlopen, wielrennen, zwemmen. Tot op de dag van vandaag. Ik train 15 uur in de week. Dus aan de ene kant bij de jongens is het een ijzeren discipline.
Want dat doe je doen met andere jongens, hè?
Ja, dus hetgene wat bij mij positief gewerkt heeft. Dus aan de ene kant de ijzeren discipline, focussen, doelen stellen. We gaan onder andere de Alpe d'Huez doen. Maar de een kan niet zonder het ander. Want de andere kant is, en dat heb ik ook gedaan in 82, met de zwaarste therapie, dat is die ego laten vallen. Dus die image, de stoerheid, dat ze ook klein mogen zijn, zeg maar dat. En juist, zoals King ook beschrijft, Martin Luther King, is de zachtheid van een duif en de taaiheid van een slang. Die combinatie, dat is het proces. En ja, dat is, ik onderscheid mij erin. En dat is mijn droom en ik ben vastberaden daarin.
Dus jij denkt dat het mogelijk is om jonge criminelen uit die vicieuze cirkel te halen en een nieuw begin te geven wat voor altijd werkt. Jonge mensen uit de criminaliteit te halen, hoop, doel, weerstand.
Ja, en vooral veel weerstand en vooral diep afzien, Jan. Dat is het leren incasseren, juist met tegenslagen omgaan. Dus uiteindelijk wil ik als basis wordt het een wielrenteam. Met 10 ruwe diamanten die geslepen moeten worden. Want al die jongens, dat heb ik ervaren nou met die jongens, daar zit aanleg in. Dat ben ik absoluut van overtuigd. En juist die jongens, die net zoals ik vroeger was, heel veel energie, veel met criminaliteit, nergens voor terugdeinzen, de mond er kunnen houden, die kunnen dat in de positiviteit omzetten. Want die kwaliteiten, met dat als basis het wielrenteam, daar maken wij één formatie van. Ieder zijn kwaliteiten en die moeten ze tot het uiterste ontwikkelen.
Waar zit jouw droom over 10 jaar?
Nou, dat is het eerste, het project. Dan droom ik dat eigenlijk...
Hoeveel gevangenen moeten er dan meedoen? Gedetineerd?
Over heel de wereld. Dat we allemaal teams hebben, net als in de Tour de France. Want ik ga met die jongens ook de Alpe d'Huez omhoog. Hè? Dat is één van de doelen. 100% diep afzien. Mijn droom is dat we teams hebben in de reality-serie. En ik hoop dat een programmamaker die nu misschien kijkt, daar gaan talenten eruit. Ja. Dat ik echt uit alle landen, dat we daar een gevecht hebben op Alpe d'Huez.
Geweldig. Nou, ik vind het altijd fantastisch. Dat mensen die een visie en een droom hebben. Ja. En als je ervoor gaat, dan gebeurt het ook.
Die overtuiging, ja. Goed. Die heb ik. Ja.
En dominee, wat is uw droom?
Dat er voor ieder mens een toekomst is weggelegd. En dat we dat ook over kunnen dragen. En dat we dat ook bezield kunnen laten zien. Zo is het denk ik ook heel sterk afhankelijk. De toekomst van mensen is ook afhankelijk van het geloof wat wij in hen hebben.
Vrienden, ik vond het een prachtig gesprek. Stanley, ik vond het fantastisch om jouw bevlogenheid te horen. Ik ben met je. 365 dagen en meditatie. Lezer is in.
Nou, ik ben geen lezer, maar stukje voor stukje gaat het wel lukken.
Nou, laten we eens even kijken. Het is vandaag 30 september, wat er staat. Even kijken, is nou niet, dan lees ik het wel voor als je geen lezer bent. Zo zijn we dan ook nog. Hé, hey. Nou, dat moet je maar eens goed lezen. Almachtige God, ben ik dankbaar dat u geweldige verrassingen voor me in petto hebt. En dank u, Heer, dat ik ontelbare levens mag veranderen, omdat ik u gevonden heb. Nou, dat wil jij ook, ontelbare levens veranderen.
Dank je wel.
Dat staat bij vandaag. Dus blijf lezen. En Jezus zegt, een boekje voor jou en voor de dominee. En als u nog meer nodig heeft voor je in gevangenissen, zeg het ons. Als Hour of Power stellen we dat graag beschikbaar. We hebben dat wel meer gedaan.
Ja, dank je wel.
Vrienden. Hartelijk dank.
Ja, dankjewel om hier te zijn.
Oké, ik vind dat je nu, daar ligt de Rijn, dat je daarin moet springen, 15 kilometer moet zwemmen, dan zorg ik wel ergens dat ik met de fiets klaar staat. En dan...
Dan daag ik jou nou uit, dan mag, krijg jij een voorsprong.
Nee. Oh jongens, wat heb ik nou gezegd?
We voegen het woord bij de daad.
Nee, weet je wat, ik ga gauw naar de Christelijke Cathedral. Vrienden, hartelijk bedankt.
Thank you, Nortro. You've touched our lives deeply. And thank you, Mark McKenzie, for writing that wonderful song. Mark, would you stand up? Thank you. What a blessing. Well, this morning, I want to introduce Les Brown, but I want to tell you a story. Not long ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I received a phone call from a girl from our own church. And she was crying. And she said, "Bobby, I'm going to change my life." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Bobby, I'm going to change my life. I've always done everything in my life based on what people say about me. And I heard an interview with someone. And he said that you can't live your life based on what other people say about you. That you got to believe in yourself and believe what God is doing in you." It was the interview that just changed my life forever. I said, "Whose interview was that?" She said, "Les Brown. He touched my heart in a way that I could never thank him enough for it." This morning we have Les Brown coming, not to do an interview, but to share a message. Would you please give a warm welcome? Les, thank you so much. God bless you.
One of the things I love so much about this ministry is that it has been an inspiring force in my life for many years. I want you to think about three major goals. Number one, a personal goal. Think about that. My first personal goal was to buy my mother a home. I'm adopted. I'm one of seven children that Mrs. Mamie Brown adopted. She was one. She only had a third grade education, but she wanted to raise children. She never had any herself. I was one of those seven. And Mama did domestic work on Miami Beach. She cleaned homes and cooked for families. And we ate the food left over from the families that she cooked for. And we wore the hand-me-down clothes of the children that she kept. And when we were in those big, beautiful mansions, I would say, "Mama," and she said, "What is it, boy?" I say, "When I become a man, I'm going to buy you a big, beautiful home just like this." How many of you have somebody special you like to do something for? Raise your hands, please. And I bought Mama a home, four homes before she passed. And I was very excited about that. I'm going to share with you how you can make that dream happen for someone that you care about. Now I want you to think about a financial freedom number. What number that once you earn that amount, that you will have a feeling of relief, that it will alleviate a lot of stress in your life. And now I want you to think about your social contribution. What will be different because you showed up? Horace Mann said we should be ashamed to die until we've made some major contribution to humankind. One of the goals I have is teaching people that they're more powerful than cancer. I've been doing that for 15 years because 15 years ago I was diagnosed with prostate cancer and given a 2 to 3 year prognosis. I believe that doctors should never tell someone they're terminally ill. What they should say is that my ability to help you has terminated. Now, you need to find some other options. And then I discovered that in the beginning of 2011, I beat cancer so bad 15 years ago, it came back. And I was shocked. My PSA was over 1,500, which stands for prostate-specific antigen. And how many of you know when you have goals, things are going to happen to you? Raise your hands, please. You have goals, things are going to happen. There are people who have lost their homes in foreclosure right now. People have been laid off. People have lost their 401k, lost their retirement. People who thought about retiring and now they have to start all over again. Life has caught them on the blind side. When you have goals and dreams, think it not strange that you'll face the fiery furnaces of this world. You will, not you might, you will have tribulations. And so there I was in Florida Hospital, had these goals and dreams of training 10,000 voices of hope. 10,000 voices of everyday people, teaching them how to become strategic, experiential storytellers that transform people's lives. And a doctor looked at me and said, "Mr. Brown, you have cancer of the spine, and the cancer has eaten 40% of your T1 vertebrae." And I remember when Dr. Julie Van Putt, my life partner and business partner, said, "How are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing all right." Expect the unexpected and handle it. Handle it. Life will have a lot of surprises for you. It's catch you on the blind side. And don't go around telling everybody. 80% don't care, and 20% glad is you. It's called life. And you have to suck it up. And don't say, why did this have to happen to me? Why not you? Who would you suggest? It's called life. And you have to handle it. You have to deal with it. And here's something else. As you think about your goals and dreams, ladies and gentlemen, it's not easy. I love the Beatitudes. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You want your goal? It's got to be a hunger. It's got to be a deep down resolve that's non-negotiable, that you're going to make it, that you're going to overcome it, that what has happened to you, it's not going to define you. You've got to stand up within yourself, and you've got to tell your mind what to think. Most of us go through life being hostages to our mind. I was a terrorist in my own life. I was putting myself in the grave, and I had to stop and said, listen, stop. Everybody say with me right now, no matter how bad it is, or how bad it gets, I'm going to make it. Yeah, you have to resolve and speak to yourself and talk to yourself. And that's what I had to do as I was gaining weight. That's what I had to do as I was looking at a whole table full of medication. I said, my God, is this my future? You have to stand up and fight for what it is you want. I saw a quote once that grabbed me. It said that life is a fight for territory. And once you stop fighting for what you don't want will automatically take over. You have a dream, you've got to fight for the dream. You have a dream, you've got to stand your ground. You have a dream, you've got to resolve within yourself, no matter how bad it is or how bad it gets, I'm going to make it. Let us say together, it's hard. How many of you know it's hard to start all over again? Raise your hands, please. How many of you know it's hard when you go through foreclosure? The first home I bought for my mother, it went into foreclosure. I'll never forget praying all night saying, God, how could this happen to me? I don't do drugs. I'm not trying to rob people. I just want to take care of my mother. How could you let this happen to me? I remember being up all night saying, give me a sign that you're real. Let me know that you're real. Let me be able to save this home for my mother. I remember all night I prayed and I was reading scripture. And the next day when they knocked on the door and I came outside and I said to the man, I said, I'm standing on his word, holding the Bible. He said, no problem, Mr. Brown. Just stand out on the sidewalk if we take this for a child. Oh, my God. Oh my. I'll never forget when we moved from this beautiful home I had purchased for my mother and had to go back to Liberty City to the roach-infested house I moved her out of. And I was unloading the truck, and I was crying and feeling stupid and humiliated. And the neighbors looking, I said, Mamie, y'all back? Yes, what happened? Leslie didn't do a title search, and they're foreclosed on the home. And I was crying and feeling defeated. And she said, Leslie? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, boy, take the furniture off the truck. I said, Mama, I feel so stupid. She said, Leslie, hold your head up. I said, Mama, I'm so embarrassed. She said, hold your head up, boy. You have nothing to be ashamed of. Take that furniture in the house. And when I went in the house, the roaches were playing bid whist and saying, Mamie's back. We're going to have sweet potato pie. But something I learned, Mama said, keep your head up. And I kept my head up as we took the furniture in the house. And when she pushed my head up, I saw a new house. When she pushed my head up, I saw us getting out of there. When she pushed my head up, I saw that this was just a temporary situation. Charles Udall said in life, you will be faced with a series of God-ordained opportunities, brilliantly disguised as problems and challenges. Let us say together, keep your head up. Yeah, so you got to keep your head up. Things are always going to happen in life. No tests. No testimony. And as you look at your life, it's hard. It's hard pulling yourself together. It's hard keeping your spirits up. It's hard when you go through a divorce from someone that you love very much. It's hard when you have to start all over again. And I learned something from that experience. Repeat after me, please. If you do what is easy, your life will be hard. See, it's easy for us to blame the politicians. It's easy for us to blame the economy. It's easy for us to point fingers at our circumstances. But ultimately, we have three fingers pointed at ourselves. I've learned from this ministry right here the words of Elsie Robinson, who said, things may happen around you and things may happen to you, but the only things that really count are the things that happen in you. I learned from this place right here the words of Ralph Waldo Emerson, who said, what lies before you and what lies behind you is a small consequence to what lies within you. I learned from this place right here, tough times don't last, but tough people do. And I said, I'm tough. I can get through this. Let's say, I can get through this. Yes, if you do what is easy, your life will be hard. But if you do what is hard, your life will be easy. Make the tough decisions. Tough decisions are not tough decisions because we don't know the answer. Tough decisions are tough decisions because we know the answer. But most of us don't have the courage to do what we know. Let us say together, I've got greatness in me. Yeah, what I learned in life, that you have something special. You have greatness within you. You have the ability to do more than you can ever begin to imagine. One of the things we teach is 9 principles of greatness. And the number one is each of us can achieve far beyond our horizons and in avenues of life we have never explored. If you'd like to have those 9 principles, you can go to lesbrown.com and download it free. And one of the things that you have to do as you think about your goals and dreams is hold the vision and continue to work on the things that you want to work on and don't give up. Let us say together, you got to be hungry. This gentleman, Mr. Washington, who taught me someone's opinion of me does not have to become my reality. When I was labeled educable mentally retarded in school and put back from the 5th grade to the 4th grade and failed again when I was in the 8th grade. And he taught me that if you want to make it in life, you got to be hungry. And I said, why do you say that, sir? He said, people that are hungry are willing to do the things today others won't do. In order to have the things tomorrow others won't have. What do you want to do? Sir, I want to buy my mother a home. How do you plan to do that? I'd like to be a disc jockey. I want to be on the radio, sir. He says, very good, Mr. Brown. He said, develop your mind. You don't get in life what you want. You get in life what you are. And what else, sir? He said, develop your communication skills. I want you to go in my car at 12 noon, lunchtime, and listen to Paul Harvey. Why, sir? Because he's a great communicator, Mr. Brown. What will that mean to me? Sir, listen to me. What is it, sir? Once you open your mouth, the world tell you who you are. Learn how to communicate. Learn how to tell your story. Yes, sir. I will, sir. I will. And what else, sir? Practice OQP. Let us say together, OQP. Only quality people. Only quality people. Most people never achieve their goals because they have too many toxic, negative, energy-draining people in their lives. If you're looking at your life and looking in the future and goals you want to achieve, you've got to look at your relationships and say, what is this relationship doing to me? So I told Mr. Washington I want to become a disc jockey. He said, Mr. Brown, develop your mind, develop your communication skills, and stay around positive relationships that can bring the best out of you. And he said, I want you to put together your format and how you see yourself on the air and your personality. What will it be like, your show? I said, wait a minute, sir. I want to be a disc jockey. I don't have a job yet. And then he quoted Whitney Young. He said, it's better to be prepared for an opportunity and not have one than to have an opportunity and not be prepared. He said, you got to be hungry. I said, I am hungry, sir. I'm hungry to make something of myself. I have a twin brother, and he's smart, and they call me DT, the dumb twin. I'm hungry, sir, to prove them wrong. He said, Mr. Brown, don't worry about them. He said, remember these words by Frank Sinatra. He said, the best revenge is massive success. Focus on becoming massively successful. You have greatness within you. Don't worry about your circumstances. Don't worry about the odds. If your hunger is great enough, the odds don't matter. You have comeback power. You have the ability to do more than you can ever begin to imagine. He said, you got to go out into the marketplace, Mr. Brown. Faith without works is dead. So I went to WMBM radio station on Miami Beach. Milton Butterball Smith was the program director. Bob Terry, they call him the Nighthawk, the great monarchy who came out to L.A. All 3 of them sat there and they looked at me. I was 18 years old. What do you want, young man, sir? I'd like to become a disc jockey. You have any journalism in your background? No, sir, I don't, sir, but I practice all the time. I visualize myself doing it. Just all I want is a shot, sir. That's all I want. He says, no, we don't have any job for you. How many of you have been rejected? Raise your hands. I was devastated with the rejection. I went back and I told Mr. Washington. I said, they said no. He said, don't take it personally. Most people are so negative, they have to say no 7 times before they say yes. He said, you got to be hungry. Go back again. I said, yes, sir. I came back the next day, talking loud, smiling, looking happy. Hello, Mr. Butterball. How are you? I'd like to be a disc jockey. Look here. Weren't you here the last 2 days? Yes, sir. Didn't I tell you no the last 2 days? Yes, sir. Then why are you back today? Well, sir, I didn't know whether or not someone got sick or someone died, sir. He said, no one got sick or died. No one was laid off a fire. Now, don't you come back here again. I came back the next day, talking loud, looking happy, like I was seeing him for the first time. I said, hello, Mr. Butterball. How are you? He looked at me with rage. He said, go get me some coffee. I said, yes, sir. Yes, if you're serious about your goal, you have a hunger to make it happen, you've got to provide more service than you get paid for. You've got to make yourself stand out. It's a Saturday afternoon. A disc jockey by the name of Rockin' Roger was drinking while he was on the air. It's a Saturday afternoon, and I was the only one there, looking at him through the control room window, walking back and forth, young, ready, and hungry. I was saying, drink, Rock, drink. Drink, Rock. I'd have gone and get him some more if he'd asked me to. And then pretty soon the phone rang. It was the general manager, and I answered the phone. I said, hello? He said, young boy, this is Mr. Klein. I said, I know. He said, Rock can't finish his program. I said, I know. He said, would you call one of the other DJs in? I said, yes, sir. I hung the phone up. I said, now he must be thinking I'm crazy. I called my mom and my girlfriend, Cassandra. I said, y'all go on in the front porch and turn up the radio. I'm about to come on the air. I waited for about 20 minutes, and I called him back. I said, Mr. Klein, I can't find nobody. He said, young boy, you know how to work the controls? I said, yes, sir. He said, go in there and segue the records, but don't you say nothing here. I said, yes, sir. I couldn't wait to get old Rock out of the way. I put on a fast record. I said, look out, this is me, LB Triple P, Les Brown, your platter playing papa. There were none before me, and there will be none after me. Therefore, that makes me the one and only, young and single and love to mingle, certified, bona fide, dubly qualified to bring you satisfaction and a whole lot of action. Look out, baby, I'm your love man. I was hungry. Give the old man a round of applause. I want to leave this with you. This is your time. People are going through some tough experiences. This is the era what the late Peter Drucker calls the era of the three C's: accelerated change, overwhelming complexity, and tremendous competition. This ministry was built for these times, to give people hope, to inspire them to expand their skill set, to encourage them to create collaborative, achievement-driven relationships that will allow them to craft their future. I don't know what your goals are. I don't know what your dream is, but here's what I know about you, based upon my own experience. You have something special. You have greatness within you. And to prove it, you were chosen one out of 400 million sperm. God had something in mind when he chose you, when he chose you, when he chose you. And so I'd like to leave this with you, that my mother loved very much. And I dedicate this to you and to your dream. And those of you who like the 9 principles, go to lesbrown.com and download the rest of them free. It says simply this: if you want a thing bad enough to go out and fight for it, to work day and night for it, to give up your time, your peace, and your sleep for it, if all that you dream and scheme is about it, and life seems useless and worthless without it, and if you gladly sweat for it and fret for it and plan for it and lose all your terror of the opposition for it, and if you simply go after that thing that you want with all of your capacity, strength and sagacity, faith, hope, and confidence, and stern pertinacity, if neither cold, poverty, famish, or gulf, sickness or pain of body and brain can keep you away from the thing that you want, if dogged and grim you besiege and beset it, with the help of God, you'll get it. This has been Mrs. Mamie Brown's Baby Boy. It's been a plum-pleasing pleasure as well as a privilege. God bless you, God bless your dream, and God bless this ministry. Thank you very much.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you now till Jesus comes again, in life or in death. God bless you. Amen.
Ik hoop ook dat deze uitzending van Hour of Power u en jou geïnspireerd heeft. En mocht je vragen hebben, we hebben een team dat klaar zit om met jou of met u te praten. Onze hooplijn. Ik kom zo meteen in beeld en maak er gerust gebruik van. Het gaat in volledige anonimiteit en alle vrijwilligers hebben maar één verlangen om u of jou te helpen. In de problemen, de vragen die je hebt. Je hebt het van Stanley gehoord en van Jan. Dingen kunnen veranderen. En ik zat nog even te denken. Wij hebben zo vaak ons oordeel klaar over mensen die net misschien niet in de samenleving passen of dingen doen die niet goed waren. Oordeel niet, opdat je niet geoordeeld wordt. En God zegt, ik hou van alle mensen. En die opdracht, die moeten wij volgen. Een hele goede zondag. En graag, dat hoop ik, tot volgende week.
Thank you, Northrop.